Following program is paid for by the Cadillac Foundation.
It's time for Cadillac On Call on News Radio 610 KONA. It's your chance to learn valuable health information right here in our community. Now, the host of Cadillac On Call, here's Jim Hall.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Cadillac On Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. Each week, we are here to share with you important health and medical information available right here in our community and our region. Today's focus is on emergency room care, and in particular, what is called a freestanding emergency department. For 10 years, Cadillac Regional Medical Center has operated a freestanding ER located in central Kennewick, conveniently accessible to a large portion of the region's population. On today's program, we will focus on the freestanding ER, exactly what it is, why it was established, and reflections of a service from care providers who have been closely connected over the years. And we begin with the nurse manager at the Cadillac Freestanding ER, and that's Andrea Dixon. And wow, Andrea, 10 years goes really fast. I remember when we held the ribbon cutting, and it seems like yesterday. You know, maybe a first question, just an initial reflection on the service reaching this milestone, and what does it mean to you and your team?
Really, we are just so excited that we've been able to offer this service to our community. When we first opened, we weren't sure exactly how needed this service was. We were anticipating seeing 30 to 40 patients per day by the end of our first year open, and we were meeting that milestone within our first 2 weeks. And in the past 10 years, we have been able to serve over 337,000 of our community members.
Man, that is unbelievable. I remember those days because I remember that stat that you said, and it was right away. It was just extremely much busier than was expected. For our listeners who may not be familiar, what is a freestanding emergency department?
Freestanding emergency department, as you might infer from the name, is not attached to a hospital. So we are a fully functioning emergency department, meaning that we can stabilize any sort of emergency patient, but we don't have OR or cath lab or OB down the hall.
So in the instance of I guess that's obviously, as you say, how it differs from a hospital ER. What happens then if someone comes in to the Kennewick location but needs to be hospitalized? How does that work?
We are able to transport the patient to either the main campus of Cadillac or to Trios if that's their choice. And of course, if they need a higher level of care that we are not able to offer within the Tri-Cities, then we can arrange transport to wherever they may need to go, with whether that's Sacred Heart or Harborview, Virginia, Mason, etc.
Now, when it opened 10 years ago, and as you touched on, it was very much busier than was anticipated right off the bat. What do you think led it to be so popular during that time and still today?
I think that Cadillac has an excellent reputation within our community. We provide excellent service to our patients, and I think that our patients, once they've had a visit here, really love the excellent care that they receive. So I think that our freestanding emergency department being open and being more accessible to the southeast portion of Kennewick as well as communities in Oregon like Hermiston and Pendleton really struck a chord within the community as being another option.
And I know when the department opened, it was really designed with, you don't necessarily think you're in an emergency department or in a healthcare setting per se. That was all intentional, right? And it's not just the facilities. It was the way you and your team and the staff would take care of patients. Talk a little bit about that.
So the design team put an immense amount of thought into how we could improve the experience for patients overall. When someone comes into an emergency department, they are not having their best day. And so we wanted to try to make that experience as good as it possibly could be when somebody's in crisis. So we designed a on-stage, off-stage type setting that allows increased privacy and a sense of calmness for patients. And that also allows our team to have increased communication and efficiency for all the things that happen behind the scenes that we do to care for our patients.
And what do you mean by onstage, offstage?
So when someone comes into the freestanding emergency department lobby, they're on stage. So we check them in triage, and then as soon as possible, we show them back to a room. That room has two entrances. One comes from the hallways that are adjoining triage, and then the second door goes into what we call the core, which is offstage, which is where all of our staff prepare medications, do our charting, and all of those things that patients don't necessarily need to see, but that we need to do. So those patients have a nice enclosed private room that is not accessible to everybody in the lobby, and they're not exposed to a lot of potential chaos that could happen behind the scenes with the staff trying to care for the rest of the patients.
And I know just in general, in emergency rooms, wherever they are, whether it's in the Tri-Cities or anywhere in the country, one of the big challenges is wait times, because you never know how busy an ER is going to be, and so, you know, they don't all come in at the same, or sometimes they do come at the same time, and other times they don't. But maybe wasn't there some philosophical efforts in really trying to make sure that patients get in and out as quickly as possible with the freestanding?
We do put a focus on trying to make sure that we are as efficient as possible when it comes to patient care. We have a lot of efforts in making sure that patients are discharged in a timely manner, that orders that the providers put in are completed in a timely manner. As you alluded to, with all emergency departments across the country, we are busy. We do have challenges with the amount of patients that we see, but we do our absolute best to make sure that we can throughput our patients so that the patients that are already in a room get home in a timely manner, and the patients that may be waiting in the lobby are seen in a timely manner.
Now, this has become almost a universal question for my guests over the last 3 years, but during the pandemic, was the freestanding department used any differently as far as triaging and managing patient care than, say, at the hospital setting in Richland, or was it the same?
Our setup was very similar to the main campus ED in that we were still observing the 6 feet apart. We were limiting visitors just so that we could limit potential exposure by patients and for other patients. But very similar to the emergency department at the main campus in Richland.
Now, as you reflect on the freestanding emergency department being 10 years old, it just does not seem like 10 years ago that this was brand new. But what makes you most proud, especially as their leader right now?
I am just very proud of the service that our team has been able to provide our community. When you think of 337,000 visits, that's an immense impact on our community, and our team, especially as tight-knit as we are out here, not being a part of the larger hospital, we really have pulled together to provide that great service for our community.
And is the philosophy, the attitude with the team that you may not be geographically that close to the main hospital campus, but, man, you are definitely connected.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about, before I let you go, before we went on the air, you were sharing a little bit about your history. You have worked as an emergency department nurse. You've also worked in the ICU. So you have seen it all in your career. What about this particular role has you excited about what you're doing and fulfilled?
I really love how this role really allows me to serve our community in a multitude of ways. Not only do I get to impact patient care directly by making sure that my team has the resources, the training, the equipment that they need. But it allows me to impact our community on a smaller level by the 80 to 90 caregivers that we have right here at the freestanding ED.
Well, in a moment, we're going to visit with one of those 80 to 90 caregivers who has been there since day one. But, Andrea, I want to thank you for taking the time and pass along our best wishes to everyone. 10 years, quite an accomplishment, especially 337,000 patients served during that time. Andrea Dixon, the nurse manager at the Catholic Freestanding Emergency Department, back with more of our program in just a minute.
You're listening to Cadillac On Call on 610 KONA. This program provides general information only. Any comments or information presented are strictly for educational purposes. Cadillac and 610 KONA do not endorse any of the suggestions made by the presenter or callers. Now back to Cadillac On Call. Once again, Jim Hall.
Welcome back to Cadillac On Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. And tonight we are reflecting on an innovative emergency service that has been operating in the Tri-Cities for 10 years now, and it's called the Catholic Freestanding Emergency Department. And it's a full-staffed, full 24/7 emergency room that has been open in the city of Kennewick, in the central part of Kennewick, for 10 years now. And so we thought we'd spend some time reflecting on just exactly what this type of emergency department is and the services that are provided. And we're happy to welcome, most appropriately, one of the nurses who has been there since day one, and that's Vanessa Hines. And Vanessa, I guess first question, if you've been there 10 years, does it seem like 10 years?
Oh, the time has flown by so quickly.
Well, and, yeah. And in visiting with Andrea in our first segment, she was sharing that in the 10 years, that's 337,000 patients that have been through their patient visits. Just reflect on that from your view.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal number. It really shows how there is such a huge need in our community for the freestanding to be there and, you know, provide these services. It's really wonderful to be a part of.
Now, I understand you were an emergency room nurse at the main hospital campus in Richland before this department opened. How did you decide you wanted to pursue working at the freestanding ER, and how has that transition been, or what was it like?
Oh, well, I was excited to be a part of getting another facility, new facility, up and running. This is the second time I've been a part of something like this. The first time was a great experience. This has been just phenomenal, and so much so, I'm still here.
Well, what is it about ER nursing in particular that is so attractive to you? Because it sounds like whether you're at the hospital-based ER or at this mm-hmm. facility, it sounds like ER nursing is in your blood, so to speak.
Oh, yes. Well, funny thing, I'm ADHD. I don't medicate, and so I'm very high energy. I don't like to sit, so ER, that's a plus. It is so, it's always evolving, changing. We're always prioritizing our care, reprioritizing, you know, emergencies happen and we have to jump to the next thing. And it just keeps me engaged and it's interesting. Also, I somewhat view ER nursing as like we're like detectives. You know, people come in with symptoms and we have the tools and the knowledge to try to discover the cause of their ailments so we can know how to best treat them and help them heal.
You know, Andrea had mentioned in the first segment that in the emergency room especially, and in a healthcare setting really especially, but especially when patients come into the emergency room, you know, they're not necessarily having their best day. So you see, I'm sure, everything as far as the types of treatment that is necessary, but also not the most conducive situation. So is it just the approach that you need to take? Because you just never know what's going to walk through those doors?
Yeah, well, I think it comes back to, it's important to remember our mission statement, you know, know me, care for me, ease my way. We're not simply treating the symptom, we're treating a whole person and their loved ones that are at the bedside. So it's important to keep that in mind when we're caring for our patients.
And it kind of leads into my next question about the philosophy behind how the patients are treated, especially at the freestanding. I know there was a whole approach and a lot of time, not only to the design of the facility, but as the way the patient care is delivered. Talk a little bit about that and what it meant to be part of that. Because now, you know, we hear this patient-centered care, but, you know, 10 years ago when this was happening, that wasn't necessarily as common as it seems to be today.
Well, it's important to realize that most people don't plan on being in the ER. It really can disrupt their already busy day. And so it's important to hone our practices so we can streamline how we care for people and just... Sorry, I'm losing my thought process here.
Well, no, I was just going to say you bring up a good point that the fact that you don't, you know, people are coming in and they don't, you know, it could be a major trauma or it could be somebody, you know, a child, you know, with a very, very concerned parent, no doubt. So no two cases are alike, and every room may have some different type of need, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's important to have a wide base of knowledge working in the ER in regards to how to recognize and treat emergencies in all different ages, because we see patients that are unborn yet, and we see centurions. And so it's really important to know the different nuances that are key in what could be happening, and focusing on that. What's also really great is that, you know, we have such high numbers, high volume of patients nowadays, but we have what's called nurse-initiated orders, which they're all approved by the providers. So when patients have certain symptoms in certain age groups, we may order these pre-approved order sets. So, for example, labs, radiology studies, even some medications can be started if there will be a delay in the provider assessing the patient. So that has been very helpful in streamlining our care and making sure that we don't miss anything that, you know, if time is of the essence for a patient's safety.
And I'm sure it's a right balance. Obviously, the patients want to get in and out as quickly as possible, but at the same time, it has to be correct, right?
Absolutely.
If you would, talk about the pride that you feel as a member of this team, and having been there for 10 years, ever since day one, you must really enjoy what you do.
Oh, absolutely. Over the last 10 years, we've really honed our skills in, you know, quickly diagnosing life-threatening illnesses and the procedures in getting patients transported to the appropriate higher level of care. For example, identifying a heart attack and starting interventions while transport is en route to take them quickly to the cath lab. For example, our goal is having that patient transported within 20 minutes of receiving the EKG. And we often, you know, most times meet that goal, which is very amazing. In regards to my coworkers, they're phenomenal. We have an amazing team. And, gosh, I think it's at least doubled in size since 10 years ago. But we really needed to with our patient census increasing so much. But my team members are wonderful. If we need help, we can ask for help. And they're right there to help you. If we need to troubleshoot ideas, they're there to help. Not only that, but they are very supportive, you know, encouraging, and fun. You know, if we didn't have fun intermittently in the work area, in the ER, it would be too much, you know, too much stress. So that helps to decompress in certain stressful situations or days. So it's a wonderful team.
Well, it's amazing to me that when I heard this term, 337,000 visits, and I know it was busier than anticipated even on those first few days. And so you and your team are to be commended. And Vanessa Hines, congratulations on being there for all 10. And I hope you're there for another 10 because it's a wonderful service and a valuable service to the Tri-Cities. Vanessa Hines, an emergency department nurse at the Catholic Freestanding Emergency Department in Kennewick. Back with more of our program right after this.
Listening to Cadillac on Call on 610 KONA. This program is not a substitute for direct consultation with your own healthcare provider. Always consult your healthcare provider for your specific condition, especially if you have or suspect you may have a medical problem. Now back to Cadillac on Call. Here again, Jim Hall.
Welcome back to Cadillac on Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac. And tonight we're doing a little bit of reminiscing about 10 years of Cadillac's freestanding emergency department that opened in June of 2013, I guess if I'm doing my math correctly. And the staggering statistic is during that 10 years, more than 337,000 patients were taken care of at that facility. And happy to welcome to a program another person who has been there since day one, and that's Dr. John Matheson, who is the medical director of emergency services at Cadillac, which oversight of the freestanding ER and the main ER campus at the hospital in Richland. And John, when I say 337,000 over 10 years, it seems like that you'd think that it seems like yesterday that just opened.
It really did. Thanks for having me on tonight. It's amazing because each year, you know, we commemorate the anniversary, and it always seems shorter than the number. And this year in particular, 10 feels sounds a lot longer than it feels. Time is certainly gone quickly.
Well, I was going to say, I remember we actually did our program 10 years ago live from the waiting area at the freestanding ER, I remember. But just reflect on that, if you would. Just that's just staggering, the number of patients. And I know from day one it was a lot busier than was even being projected, was it not?
It really was, and I think it just shows the demand that we have for healthcare in our community, our growing community with a lot of needs. And this was a way to provide a necessary service that remains needed. And a lot of people, as you say, have been through there. This was certainly not the first freestanding emergency department ever built, but for our area, it was new and unique and unprecedented. And certainly there was some, you know, a lot of faith and, you know, and speculation of what it might be and how it might be received. And it has been well received and it's been successful. I think that it does, as we say, provide a service and allows more people to be seen in a very good facility with the services that are needed and provide that care to the community. So it's been a real asset to our community and for Cadillac.
If you would, maybe for people that may be just joining our program, share a little bit about how a freestanding ER, I guess, one, what makes it so effective, and two, how does it really differentiate from a hospital-based emergency room?
Sure, and I think for, you know, when I started practicing emergency medicine, the only consideration of an emergency department is one affiliated with the hospital, and that is the traditional way of doing emergency medicine. But hospitals have limited space and capacity, and emergency departments are, we've learned, maybe needed in areas where there isn't a hospital. And so the idea of a freestanding emergency department is to have an emergency department that has the capability to do what other emergency departments can do. But when we say freestanding, it's just that. It is not part of a hospital. In our case, it's affiliated with a hospital. It's affiliated with Cadillac. And staff work for Cadillac, and we have access to those resources. But the facility itself is an emergency department without the attached hospital. And that the advantage is that we can have a facility without all of the costs and resources necessary to have an entire hospital and put it in those areas. Now, some of the limitations are we are not a hospital, and so a certain number of people who come to the emergency department need to be admitted to the hospital, and certainly we can't, if we aren't directly attached to the hospital, we have to move them to the hospital for that admission. Sometimes they may need a specialized care that is that we don't have on site, and so we may have to move them to the hospital for that. But the vast majority of patients we are able to manage right there and see them. Because it is freestanding, we are able to design it, and all of the resources that are there are designed around the emergency department patient. We're not sharing services with the rest of the hospital, and so we can design it. And I was very fortunate to be part of that design process, but to really design it around efficiency and around the patient itself, and it's proven to be a good model.
It's an interesting point you bring up, because obviously, as you say, you know, the ER is just, at a hospital is just part of the overall, you know, there's 250 inpatients relative to Cadillac, most likely. And so if those people need some of those same services, that, you know, whether it's x-ray or lab or some of those types of things, then it makes it a little more of a challenge to manage that, so the focus can be on those patients. But also talk about, if you would, I would imagine the coordination of that care. If it is somebody that, say, is having a heart related that needs to be at the hospital setting, the coordination between not only the ERs of Cadillac but the first responder community is even more important.
Certainly, and we work very well with our EMS, paramedics, and ambulance services in the community. And there are certain patients, because we know that there are resources that are at the hospital that may not be at the freestanding emergency department, or specialized care, or those that are going to almost certainly need to be admitted to the hospital. Those patients are going to be brought to a hospital. We do see some ambulance traffic from the community that comes to the freestanding emergency department, but that is selected based on criteria and patient preference and so forth to try and get the appropriate people to the appropriate resources. We also recognize that, you know, the freestanding emergency department, we are not a labor and delivery unit, and so the local obstetricians and family medicine practitioners who manage expectant pregnant patients advise their patients that if they have a pregnancy-related problem later in their pregnancy, to go to a hospital where they have those services as well. Now, certainly anybody who comes to the freestanding, we are going to assess, we are going to stabilize, and we are going to arrange appropriate transport. But it is important to try and get those patients to the right location early on. And when it involves community, EMS, and so forth, then we can do that from the start.
I know, you know, certainly the Tri-Cities, you touched on it, is growing, and this whole region is growing. And you touched on also that not realizing how busy this department was going to be right off the bat. Certainly there's a good concentration of population of the growth of the Tri-Cities right in that central Kennewick area. But is it out beyond that, even down into some of these further geographies, perhaps into Pendleton, Hermiston, down into northern Oregon, that are also we're seeing coming for this need?
Absolutely. We see a number of patients who come from across the border into Oregon who come, and some of it is because of the reputation of Cadillac and wanting those services that we have. But there is just a lot of demand in the area. And despite Cadillac's focus on growth over decades and recognizing that need and great expansion efforts, the community is just growing very, very quickly, and the demand is growing faster than services are available. And so I think there always will be that demand and more.
Visiting with Dr. John Matheson, the medical director of the Cadillac Emergency Departments, and he's graciously going to stick around for one more segment, and we'll visit more with Dr. Matheson right after this.
You're listening to Cadillac On Call on 610 KONA. This program provides general information only. Any comments or information presented are strictly for educational purposes. Cadillac and 610 KONA do not endorse any of the suggestions made by the presenter or callers. Now back to Cadillac On Call. Once again, Jim Hall.
You're listening to Cadillac On Call, presented by the Foundations at Cadillac, and we're visiting with Dr. John Matheson, the medical director of the emergency departments at Cadillac, which include the Cadillac Freestanding Emergency Department in Kennewick, which recently surpassed 10 years of service, and during that time has served more than 330,000 patients, an incredible statistic of patient care here in the community and a testament to the need that we've been talking about of that facility. And Dr. Matheson, if you would, I'd like to maybe divert a little bit just in general of for our listeners who, you know, might not be aware of when they should or shouldn't go to an emergency department. And there's so many different care settings now, including in some cases you can do telemedicine. But maybe for our listeners, if you could just give a brief overview of when folks should come to an emergency room and maybe when they should consider just going to an urgent care facility of some sort.
Sure. And it can be difficult because we don't expect community lay people to have all of the same experience and expertise to always determine when it may or may not be an emergency. And so I think the first and foremost is if you believe this is an emergency and you think this could be life or limb threatening and a very serious illness, particularly things such as, you know, chest pain where you think you might be having a cardiac or a heart problem, breathing issues, mental status changes where you know, unusual confusion or lack of being fully conscious and awake, and those types of very serious things certainly should go to the emergency department, and in those cases, often you should be calling 911 to get assessment. If this is something that is more minor, that is not does not seem to be as serious, and you have access to primary care or even to be able to contact them to get guidance on where you should go, that's certainly appropriate. Urgent cares are also available, again, for those more minor injuries or illnesses. I mentioned some of the medical things. Certainly a serious traumatic injury with a serious bleeding, problem, the significant trauma, those should go to the emergency department. Minor cuts and minor injuries could often go to the urgent care and sometimes even to your primary care. But I also recognize, and I think we all recognize, that we have a shortage of primary care physicians in this community, and so it's not always easy to get into them. The emergency department is designed for emergencies, and so you should, if you don't have an emergency, you should try to exhaust your other options before that. But everybody who comes to the emergency department will be assessed and determined what is appropriate to do at that time.
We have talked about that you have been there for the 10 years of the freestanding emergency department, and I know a few years beyond that as you're practicing as an ER doctor. How has emergency medicine changed throughout your career?
Well, the fundamentals really haven't changed. The anyone, anywhere, anytime is kind of one of the mantras we say in emergency medicine. We are there nights, weekends, holidays, day, night. It doesn't matter. And we will, you know, do our best to care for anybody who walks through those doors. And that hasn't changed. But I think, you know, healthcare systems, and I'm talking more generally, not specific to, you know, companies and corporations and so forth, but just the healthcare systems have become more complex. Access to care has become a challenge, and so I think the number of people who at least feel they don't have other options has increased, and so we are that safety net, but the safety net has been strained, and it can be a challenge at times, but we still live by that, you know, anyone, anywhere, anytime mentality, and do our best to live up to it.
I have just a minute or so left, and I'd like to finish where we began, and maybe from your view as an emergency department leader, both emergency departments, but in particular the freestanding, what an accomplishment that is, but maybe just a reflection from your world and your view about the staff and this accomplishment and this milestone that has been reached in 10 years.
It's been quite a ride. I will admit, when we first talked about it, I was unsure. I had some uncertainties. Is this the right way to go? What's it going to be like? But it has been an absolute honor to work with so many committed, dedicated professionals who have worked there. And I'm talking about the entire staff, whether they be nurses, our techs, our laboratory and radiology folks, our housekeepers, just everybody. It is a tight-knit family there, and all dedicated to taking care of our patients. And to see it grow, and you know, there have been learning opportunities along the way, but to see people just adapt and make the most of every circumstance and continue to through, you know, all that we've seen, including a major pandemic, and keep coming back, has been very rewarding. And as you say, you know, well over 300,000 patients have been through there. And, you know, we designed this to be able to see a pretty good number of patients, and we're seeing that. And I anticipate it will be there for a long time to come.
Dr. John Matheson, the medical director in the emergency departments at Catholic, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us, and continued success.
Thank
and
you.
We're glad that that unit, that department is out there. Thanks to all of our guests tonight, and thank you for listening. We'll talk again next week.